Well, if you study economics or even just follow business news, you know there are various indexes that measure a country's economic performance. Most people know about gross domestic product. Even in terms of trying to gauge economic polarization or inequality, like the Gini coalition. Well, there's an interesting new development. Researchers at Motu Economic and Public Policy Research have created a new measure of material well-being and inequality. It's based on ownership of possessions like books, cars, and the number of bedrooms and bathrooms in a house. So to find out more about this new measure of material well-being, we're very pleased to have joining us Dr. Arthur Grimes. He's a senior fellow at Motu Economic and Public Policy Research. Hello.
안녕하십니까.
Oh, 안녕하십니까 to you as well. Thank you very much for joining us. How can material well-being generally be measured and calculated?
Well, in the end, people get material well-being from what they actually consume rather than what they earn. So we need to look at what people actually can consume in their households. And we can find measures of that if we look hard enough through the data sources. And we found one using the OECD's data covering 800,000 households of what they actually have in the house.
And generally speaking, you might think if it's a simplistic measure, household income, that can determine things. But certainly, if you make $100,000 in a place like Manhattan or San Francisco or Tokyo, it is very different than if you make that $100,000 in somewhere like Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, that's right. And so economists have traditionally used measures like GDP per capita, gross domestic product per capita, and then tried to adjust those for difference in prices across countries. And that's sort of a standard measure based on incomes of the country. But it is rather a poor way of measuring material well-being because it doesn't take account of especially housing costs across countries, which are a big part of people's budgets. And as you imply, the housing costs in Manhattan are much higher than they would be in Zimbabwe.
Right.
And yet our traditional measures don't take account of that.
As we look at the list, can you tell us, generally speaking, which countries rank high in material well-being?
Well, we have 40 countries in our data set from the OECD, which we can measure consistently over 2000 to 2012. Interestingly, the top four ranked countries in order are the USA, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. So four of the what might be called the settler countries from the Anglo-Saxon world are the four richest countries when it comes to material well-being. Then you get a list of the expected European countries like the Scandinavian countries, etc., coming next.
That's interesting. Certainly with South Korea, and I think most of our listeners will be interested in how they stack up. Depending on the measure, South Korea has the 12th or 3rd largest economy. Its per capita GDP is okay, but it only ranks 30th out of 40 countries in material well-being. Can you kind of assess how Korea kind of relatively shows a low level of material well-being?
Yeah, we looked at the actual possessions that people have in Korea relative to other countries, and Korea ranks, as you say, 30th overall, but it doesn't rank very highly on the housing side. So, for instance, we asked, the OECD asks whether the students, this is for 15-year-old students, so households with a 15-year-old student, do they have their own study place? And Korea ranked 34th on that. It ranked 31st on bedrooms, this 22nd on bathrooms. It also didn't do well for some of the other consumer durables, surprisingly. Computers, 32nd, TVs, 39th, etc. So on quite a few goods, Korea was quite well down the listings.
And that is, again, interesting because I think what you're pointing out is that Korea prides itself. It is known somewhat around the world as being this sort of advanced high-tech nation, yet you're seeing with certain commodities that Korea is actually quite at the bottom of that list. Can we attribute any of the reasons why?
Well, we've looked at a few of the reasons why. The one that cross countries, this is not just specifically for Korea, but across the 40 countries, one of the things was access to credit. So if there was good access to credit in the country, then people could smooth their income over their life cycle. So at a time of life when they're often quite finding things quite difficult, when they've got a teenage child, countries that where the credit is more easily available, can the families can afford more goods in their house. So that was sort of something that came across right across countries. We also, by looking at the countries, although we haven't done formal tests, we imagine that a deregulated tariff system, so that where tariffs are low, so people can afford things. And one other thing, just looking at the countries, and again, we haven't done a formal test, but most of the countries that do well have got lots of space. They don't have many people, and they've got a lot of area,
right,
which means that housing costs are lower.
Now, one other thing that South Korea wrestles with, and a problem that a lot of people are concerned about, is this idea of economic polarization or increasing inequality. In terms of inequality, as far as material well-being is concerned, there are different results. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, Korea scores very, very well in this angle. So not only do we look at the average well-being across households, but we look at the degree of inequality amongst them within each country. And here it turns out that Korea is the third most equal of all the countries in our sample.
Wow.
So even though households in Korea generally don't have as many possessions as other countries' households do, they're much more evenly distributed.
As far as if you have various countries looking at this list, and I suppose there's a bit of a pecking order, everyone wants to be high on any of these international lists. But that being said, if policymakers are going to base some of their decisions on this data, what do you think various officials around the world can learn from your research?
Well, I think there's a few things. One is that the well-being of your households, material well-being of your households, can be enhanced for a given level of incomes in the country by making sure that people do have access to credit over their lifetime so they can smooth their consumption. I think it also means that, implies at least, that tariff reductions are a good thing so that people can afford the consumption goods that they want without having to pay high tariffs. And there may be some angles here in terms of household assistance or family assistance, tax rebates, etc., for families as well, because that's the group that we're looking at.
So it wouldn't be necessarily just a simplistic matter of, let's say, South Korean policymakers decide, look, we need to improve the material well-being of our population. Let's try to figure out a way to get housing prices down across the board. Would that actually be a major factor in improving material well-being?
Well, house prices are a very important part of people's budgets, obviously. Many countries are wrestling with high house prices at the moment. It's not just a Korean issue. It's very much an issue in the Anglo-Saxon countries as well that are at the top of the list. I would have thought the first thing you would do is look at import protection to make sure you take that off. Because clearly that raises the cost of living for families.
Right.
And making sure that people can get access to credit.
Okay. As far as your future research is concerned, how further do you plan to develop this particular research, and what do you hope people take from it in the long term?
Well, there's clearly other aspects to well-being. In this study, we've just looked at material well-being, but there's many other measures of well-being that are more philosophical in nature, if you like, how satisfied one is with one's life and those sorts of things. And we'd like to look at the relationship between these measures of material well-being and these broader measures of well-being and also of sustainability.
Well, it certainly is fascinating research, and we do thank you for bringing it to our attention. Dr. Grimes, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Arthur Grimes, Senior Fellow at the Motu Economic and Public Policy Research. Sports up next.